Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical tactics to help you lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a leadership development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. Today, I'm sharing my personal story of how you can be a leader and have PTSD. PTSD is something I've been recently diagnosed with and have been navigating over the past year. It has its ups and downs when it comes time to lead people at work. Leaders are often thought about being this unshakable subject matter expert, but there's just as much power in vulnerability and self-awareness as there is in strength and resiliency. Let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the industry leader of the portable at-home wood-burning sauna. Being a leader can be stressful. That's why I've been a sauna user for many years. Did you know that consistent sauna usage 3 to 4 times a week not only relieves stress and improves sleep, but it also enhances your physical well-being and fosters mental resilience and cognitive clarity to be a better leader? And you no longer have to go to a crowded gym or buy one of those expensive and bulky at-home setups to experience the benefits of a sauna. Sweat Tent is the most portable and affordable at-home sauna on the market. The setup takes minutes and can reach 200 degrees in under 30 minutes. Harness the power of the Sweat Tent sauna to lead with clarity and poise. Sweat out stress, ignite creativity, and emerge a more focused leader. All Leadership Decoded listeners will receive $100 off when you use code LEAD100. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code LEAD100 at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code LEAD100. Sweat Tent, improving your ability to lead at work and in your everyday life.
This episode is brought to you by CNG Tutoring. Founded by Janelle and Chris Seaton, CNG Tutoring is Northeastern Pennsylvania's leading tutoring service. Our experienced state-certified tutors provide personalized one-on-one sessions tailored to each student's unique learning style. From math and science to reading, writing, and even Spanish, we cover it all. We also offer top-notch SAT prep designed to help students sharpen the skills they need to achieve their goals on the SAT. Join the countless families who trust CNG Tutoring with award-winning educators and a 5-star parent rating. We offer in-person and virtual tutoring using 21st century learning techniques. Visit cngtutoring.com today and start your child's journey to academic excellence. CNG Tutoring, ignite your mind.
This episode is brought to you by FitAF. As a leadership coach, I understand the importance of fueling both body and the mind. Balancing coaching sessions, workshops, and personal development can be demanding, and that's where FitAF steps in. FitAF offers an ever-changing menu crafted by top chefs and nutrition experts to ensure you're getting the best quality meals. Their diverse selection caters to various dietary preferences and needs, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As a valued listener, enjoy an exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more by using code LEADER at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code LEADER for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. For me, I knew something wasn't right for the past 10 to 15 years, but I put off talking to somebody about what was going on with my mental health. I chalked it up to stress. I chalked it up to, you know, complexities at work. I chalked it up to just any excuse that I had to put a barrier in my way. I used that excuse. I didn't want to recognize that there may be something going on inside me that was stopping me from being always positive and upbeat and being able to bounce back from problems. What I found myself doing was I would use all of my energy at work in order to get through the day. And what was happening was small little triggers would add up and add up and compound. And then by the time I got home, I didn't have any more left in my tank. I didn't have any more energy. I didn't have any more patience. So my family was getting the brunt of just what I thought was a bad day at work. Well, come to find out, once I learned more about my diagnosis, about what was happening and the situations and the context of leading in an environment while having PTSD, I was able then to put a mitigation strategy in place. I was able to understand my diagnosis. You know, think of it like a metaphor, is that if you have something going on with your mental health, you can still be driving down the road in the driver's seat. You can let that diagnosis, you can let that inner voice, you can let that, in my case, these triggers of post-traumatic stress a disorder, it can ride shotgun, but I don't want to let it take the wheel. I want to be in full control of my response, in full control of my destiny, my path. So in every situation at work, whether it be a heated discussion, a conflict, whether it be something happening with people, I needed to understand what my triggers were, set the physical conditions up to where I could be successful. And what I've learned is that through managing and acknowledging those feelings of anxiety, those feelings of stress, those feelings of the need to be in control, whether that be setting the physical workspace out in a way that's feeling safe and welcoming versus bracing for impact or having to keep my head on a swivel or move at all times, setting the physical workspace up and preparing for what's going to be a difficult conversation, going through my breathing rituals, going through my preparation. All of those small things have helped me be able to lead while having this diagnosis. And it's actually brought out empathy. It's brought out my acknowledgement in others. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. So let's dive into some strategies that you can use for leading and managing while having PTSD. So you may feel this additional pressure put upon you that, geez, I don't want anybody to know, or I can manage it myself, or I can mitigate this myself. So that added layer is not just something. Leadership is difficult enough. So it's you add that on, you've got to be able to have a plan in place, rituals and routines in place to help you mitigate, acknowledge what's going on with your emotional reactions, with your stress reactions, so that you can continue to lead at your best and be an example for your team. You know, and there also might be a fear that you're carrying with you that talking about PTSD openly might be daunting. You might be worried about being perceived as weak or incapable. But in reality, when you start having open conversations about mental health, and you start having open conversations about emotions and reactions at work, and you acknowledge that, of course I can feel this way, or of course I reacted that way, and here's why, and here's what I felt, and here's what I'm going to do going forward. You start to bring it out in the open. Now you're starting to demonstrate resiliency. We expect leaders to be perfect, and in reality, we're not. We're humans. We're people. So when we stumble, when we fall, when it's not about how long we stay down, it's about how quickly we can get up, bounce back, and move forward. So how do you lead while navigating the complexities of PTSD? Some strategies I want to share with you that have worked for me. Everybody's different. Everyone's diagnosis is different. I just want to be able to share these examples of what's worked for me so we can learn from it, and I can share my experiences with you. The first is practicing self-awareness, understanding your triggers and how they manifest. For me, mine is hypervigilance, hyper-awareness, a loud knock, a sound, a person moving quickly or somebody passing by, or it may be, the room condition or the pace of a conversation. So for me, there's situations, there's people, there's environments that intensify my symptoms. Understanding what those are helps me to then prepare for them when they happen, helps me to try to set a room or shape a conversation or change the tone and pace of my voice to help bring people back down so I don't find myself getting caught up in that roller coaster of emotion. So understanding and practicing self-awareness is the first strategy that works for me. Second is prioritizing self-care. Leadership is demanding. And with PTSD or any other mental health issue or just plain well protecting your well-being, self-care shouldn't be a buzzword. It should be essential. Having an understanding of meditation, of exercise, of other practices that you put throughout your day, use what works for you. What works best for me, the ritual of my first cup of coffee, that smell, that aroma, is really a way to practice mindfulness. I don't just slug it back to get the caffeine kick. I really take time to enjoy the warmth, the smell, the richness, the sip, how it feels, on my tongue as it goes down. And it sounds silly, but in that moment, I'm very, very, very present. And then from there, I have routines where I use an ice bath and I have a sauna. So I know in my day, I'm going to have that self-care, that reset that's going to help my blood pressure. It's going to help my mental well-being. So I look forward to those routines throughout the day. Same thing with exercise, same thing with box breathing. Whatever routine works for you, find it and make time to implement it throughout your workday. You'll be better off for it. Third is setting boundaries. Leaders with PTSD, we often feel the need to push through and overextend themselves and just say, well, that's okay. It's a tough day. I can do more and be that example. And what I have found was I hit my limits. I'd push past my limits, and sometimes it's good for growth. I push past my limits, and sometimes it led to very poor decision-making, snap judgments, irritability, and all the negative momentum would just backslide from there. So being able to protect your mental health by setting boundaries around your time. I've got a very good practice now where I come in, I sort through my emails, I manage my tasks, and then I take 15 to 20 minutes to reset my, my frontal lobe, reset my brain, and reset my self, shoulders down, oxygenate my lungs and my blood again, and then I go to my next burst. So about these 90 to 120 minute increments I'm working in helps protect the time that I'm working, and I have boundaries set upon those and very strict rules of who can break those boundaries or when I can shift those boundaries so that I know I'm working at my best, the quality of my work is best, and I have time built in to reset for the next big burst in the middle of the day. Another strategy that's worked for me is leaning on trusted allies. When I realized I didn't have to go through this alone, when I realized that there's other people out there who have a similar diagnosis or going through similar struggles, and we were able to openly talk about what works for you, here's what works for me. Sometimes just the acknowledgement in another is very powerful. I have people that I mentor at work who are, junior team members, and they're veterans, and they have diagnoses of traumatic brain injury and PTSD, and I learn just as much from them, I think, sometimes as I hope they learn from me sharing career advice and career navigation. I learn how they navigate their day with these diagnoses. So we know that there's a community built around that, and there's people that can go out and you can seek help from. I also use an executive coach, having somebody to talk to manage my self-awareness, my making fear and anxiety my friend, being able to understand my growth mindset and how my mental health and well-being, weave right into that. So use the resources around you, invest in yourself and those resources, because you're going to be better off in the long run. Another strategy that's worked for me is not being afraid to delegate. This goes hand in glove with empowerment, but recognizing that leading doesn't always mean doing everything for yourself. Delegating tasks to others so that you can manage your time more effectively. You can give people opportunity to step up so you don't feel like you have to take on everything. When you delegate tasks to others and you're giving people meaningful work and the space to do it in, that's empowering to them, and it frees you up to do what you need to do so you can have a balanced workload and a balanced approach to work. How PTSD, what I found for me, an upside, is it helps me embrace empathy and some other leadership abilities. It presents its challenges. It's often an unexpected advantage, though, because what I have acknowledged that when I became more self-aware of my struggles and I've gained a deeper understanding of the hardship and stress and the resilience it takes to lead through others and lead through, having a mental health concern, it's helped me pinpoint that in others and acknowledge that they may be going through the same thing, or they may be going through something similar. Either way, they're going through something. So being able to be more compassionate in the workplace is something I have found once I've started to navigate my diagnosis. It's also helped me build stronger trust and relationships with my team, because I'm open and sharing, and I'm understanding of not just the work to be done, but how they're approaching it and how they're carrying that weight, that stress on them as well. And offering support to employees who might be struggling, giving them an example of somebody who is a more seasoned senior leader who is able to still maintain career success while leading with PTSD. And you can insert your own issue or diagnosis or struggle, but being able to openly acknowledge that shows them that they can navigate a career ladder and be successful and be able to work through these concerns in these types of situations. So it gives them an example to follow. So in many ways, leading with PTSD can make you more attuned to the needs of your people. It can make you more effective. It can make you a more human-centered leader. And one thing that I struggle with, and there's no right and there's no wrong with this, but should I openly disclose? Should I not? I've just started to be more public talking about this because I think that mental health and well-being is something we don't talk about enough. Physical exercise, we get behind. Spirituality, we get behind. Mental health is something that in a work environment you bring in with you each and every day because it's part of who you are. And if we are going to be people first leaders, that means, caring for, being compassionate for, encouraging and understanding and gaining perspective of people's mental well-being while at work and how that impacts the work that they do. So for me, I'm talking more openly about it. You may choose to disclose this with your team. You may not. It really is more about what is it that you're trying to accomplish by openly disclosing or choosing to hold back. The preference is yours. But for me, it started to be a little bit more freeing when I had an open discussion about it. And that was more so for me to come to grips with what was going on and to give people an example that it's okay to have things going on that you can talk about inside and outside of work. Leadership is hard. It's difficult. And leading with PTSD has an added layer of complexity, but it also brings opportunity for growth. Embracing resilience, building your rituals and routines around your mental health and well-being, fostering empathy can all make you a more effective, empowering, human-centered leader. So don't forget, ask for help. It's a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. Whether it be a therapist, a mentor, a trusted colleague, an executive coach, a leadership coach, there's a ton of people out there. Find something that works for you. That's the most important thing. And then remember, taking care of yourself and modeling healthy behaviors, your team will see that and that will resonate with them. So when you start to model the way and lead the way and lead by example, your team will too, and you'll have a happier, healthier, more productive team at work. So I want to thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of Leadership Decoded here in the Loop Internet Studio. If you liked today's episode, if you found value in today's episode, download it, share it with your fellow leaders, help get the word out so that we can all learn and lead at our very best inside and outside of work. And if you're an organization who's interested in investing in your team's leadership abilities, I want to work with you. I provide hands-on, minds-on learning experiences. Your team will be able to take what we learned and put it into easy application at work the very next day. Learning's going to stick, their leadership abilities are going to increase, and you're going to see their performance increase as well. You can connect with me at LinkedIn at Dr. Will Ramey. Check out my website, drwilliamramey.com. You can follow us here on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod, or email me at will@onthestacks.com. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.